Hello, saints. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for all the gifts that you've given us through your Holy Spirit. And I praise you for the Holy Spirit himself, that you've allowed him to be our leader and our guide through all the things that we do. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for anointing us today to give out this message about the Holy Spirit and the things that we say. And I praise you and I thank you for an awesome Bible study today, Lord, on what we should say and the works of the Holy Spirit in us. Well, that's exactly what I want to talk about, is the works of the Holy Spirit in us. And, you know, the moment we were born again, there was a divine miracle that took place. You were not merely forgiven, you were made new. And the very life and nature of God were imparted into our spirit. You became a new creation, a recreated being, with the very life of the risen Christ flowing in us. And with that new birth came the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not as a guest, but as a permanent resident. Folks, we're not ordinary men and women. We are God indwelt. The Spirit of the living God has made his home in us, and he didn't come to just visit. He came to abide. He came to empower, to guide, and to manifest the very works of Jesus through your life. And there too often believers walk as mere men, unaware of the treasures within us. But here's what the word declares, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, the moment a person is born again, a divine exchange takes place. And it's more than just a forgiveness of sin. It's the beginning of a new kind of life, a spiritual rebirth that brings God himself to dwell within the believer. This truth is not symbolic and it's not poetic. It's a literal reality. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, makes his throne in the human spirit. You're no longer just a natural man or woman. You become God indwelt. That's the miracle of the new creation. And there's far too many believers live as though God is far away somewhere in the sweet by and by in the heavens. And they have to struggle to get his attention. They pray long prayers. They cry. They fast, thinking these efforts will bring God closer. But God's not a distant deity. He came near, so near, in fact, that he made your spirit his dwelling place. When Jesus declared that he would not leave us as orphans, but would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he meant that every child of God would become a vessel filled with divine presence. This indwelling presence is not based on feelings, emotions, or even performance. It's based on the finished work of Christ and the integrity of God's Word. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just as the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament carried the tangible presence of God, now your inner man is the holy place where the Spirit resides. The presence of God does not come and go like a breeze. He does not leave when you make a mistake and return when you're perfect. He's faithful. He abides. He remains. The Spirit of God has taken up permanent residence in you. And he doesn't depart at the first sign of weakness. Instead, he's your helper in weakness. This indwelling power is the foundation of a victorious living. And when we understand that we are God indwelt, fear loses its grip, inferiority vanishes and doubt is silenced. And you begin to walk with confidence, not confidence in the flesh, but in the divine presence within. And you no longer look outward for strength, because the source of all power lies inside of us. This changes the way we need to face every challenge. You're not crying out to heaven for help as one in lack. You're drawing from the well of life already inside your spirit. Religious tradition has often robbed believers of this reality. It's taught people to think small of themselves and to approach God as beggars rather than as sons. But the truth is, God has already come to you. He lives in you. You're His home, His temple, His dwelling place. And He has clothed Himself with your humanity to manifest His divinity. And you don't have to feel anything to know this. It's true whether you feel it or not. And it's true on your best day, and it's true on your worst day. The Spirit within us is not moved by circumstances, because He is unchanging, ever-present, and always available. And when this truth becomes alive in our spirit, everything changes. You no longer live from the outside in, but from the inside out. The greater one lives in you. And the same Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep in creation, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, now dwells in your heart. And this is not a second great power or a portion of God. It is the fullness of God's Spirit residing in you. He is your comforter, your counselor, your strengthener, and your standby. And you're never without help. And you're never without wisdom. And you're never alone. And to be God indwelt is to live in a continual state of divine possibility. The supernatural becomes natural, praise God. The impossible becomes expected, glory to God. You carry within you the power to overcome, to create, to heal, to speak life, and to walk in dominion. And the world may not see it, and your feelings may not always reflect it, but the truth remains. The Spirit of God lives in you. And that's your identity. That's your reality. And that is your power. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is not a distant force locked away in heaven. And it's not a special anointing reserved for prophets or apostles. That power, the very power that conquered death, stripped the enemy of authority, shattered the chains of sin, and resurrected the Son of God, is now living in you. This is not just a theological statement or a verse to be quoted. It is a reality that demands to be embraced, believed, and acted upon. You know, when Christ was raised from the dead, it was not merely a historical event. It was a divine demonstration of God's supreme power. Hell couldn't hold Him. Sin couldn't stain Him. Death couldn't keep Him. That resurrection was the most powerful display that the universe had ever seen. And Scripture boldly declares in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 that this very same Spirit, the Spirit of resurrection, now dwells in your mortal body. The believer does not possess a lesser version or diluted measure of the Spirit. The exact Spirit who raised Jesus out of the grave has now made His home in you. What does that mean for your life? It means there's no situation so dark, no bondage so strong, no obstacle so impossible that it cannot be overcome by the power within you. Resurrection power is not passive. It is explosive, dynamic, and unstoppable. It raises the dead. It heals the sick. It restores what's broken and brings light to the deepest shadows. This power is not waiting to be earned. It's already present, already active, already available to every child of God who dares to believe. And there's too many Christians live as though they are powerless. They're begging God to send something that He's already given us. They cry for strength, unaware that strength lives within them. They plead for deliverance, not knowing that the deliverer has taken up residence in their spirit. They wait for revival when revival power is already inside of them. And this is not about asking. It's about awakening. It's about recognizing what's yours and what has already been done and who now lives in you. And you don't need to chase the supernatural. You are a carrier of the supernatural. Wherever you go, resurrection life goes with you. When you speak, resurrection power is in your words. When you lay hands on the sick, resurrection power flows through your touch. And you're not empty, not lacking, not weak. You are filled with the same Spirit that pulled Christ out of the tomb and seated Him at the right hand of the Father. And this power is not just for church services either or emotional moments. It's for daily living. It's for facing temptation, for standing in the face of fear, for confronting the lies of the enemy. Because the power in you is greater than the power in the world. And you don't need to run from difficulty because you're equipped to dominate it. And when you realize that resurrection power lives in you, it changes how you pray, how you speak, and how you walk through life. You stop waiting for something to happen. You start releasing what's already within you. This power has no expiration date, no limitations, no restrictions. And it don't run dry when life gets hard. It doesn't leave when you make a mistake. It remains, it abides, it empowers. And it's not activated by effort, but by faith. And the moment you believe and speak, the power moves. And it's not about how you feel. It's about what God has declared. He said, the Spirit that raised Jesus lives in you, and that ought to settle it right there. When you align your mind with this truth and speak it out of your mouth, you begin to experience a life that's not ordinary. Because the impossible becomes possible. The hopeless becomes hopeful. And the defeated become more than conquerors. Not because of who you are in the flesh, but because of who lives in you. The Spirit of resurrection, the power of the living God. The Holy Spirit is not a silent presence inside you. He is the active voice of God within, your personal guide and divine teacher. When Jesus walked the earth, His disciples followed Him, listened to Him, asked Him questions, and learned from His example. But when He prepared to return to the Father, He promised that He would not leave them comfortless. He would send the Holy Spirit who would take His place, not just beside them, but within them. And that same promise is fulfilled in every believer. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you, to reveal truth, to guide your steps, and to empower you to live in victory. Folks, you're never designed to figure out life on your own. The Holy Spirit's your guide, not just in spiritual matters, but in everyday decisions, challenges, and relationships. He leads you with the wisdom that transcends human understanding. And while the world relies on education, experience, and logic alone, the believer has a divine advantage, a supernatural guide living within. And He speaks to your spirit. He prompts you with impressions, peace, and clarity. He brings scriptures to your remembrance at just the right moment. He corrects gently, never condemning, but always drawing you closer to truth. And when you listen to the Spirit, you're listening to the mind of God. He doesn't lead you into any kind of confusion. And He doesn't produce fear or doubt. He leads with peace, with purpose, and with unwavering accuracy. And there's many believers that miss His guidance because they're looking for a loud voice or a dramatic sign. But folks, the spirit leads in stillness. He speaks to the inner man, not through the chaos of emotions, but through the calm of spiritual knowing. The Holy Spirit also reveals who you truly are in Christ. And without his revelation, the word remains mere information. It's the Spirit who illuminates the word, causing it to come alive inside of you. He opens your eyes to see the reality of redemption, the authority of the believer, the righteousness that you have in Christ, and the victory that already belongs to you. He shows you not just who Jesus is, but who you are because of Jesus. He reveals your sonship, your inheritance, and your position in the kingdom. He uncovers truth that no man can teach, and he makes it real in your experience. He's not only a revealer of truth, but also your daily companion. Yes, he is. Praise be to God. When you walk with him, you walk in power. And you don't have to strive to be strong. The Holy Spirit gives you strength. And you don't have to wonder what to say. The Spirit will give you the words. You don't have to carry your burdens alone. The Spirit's your helper. He's with you in the quiet moments of prayer and in the storms of life. He's with you when no one else understands, when the pressure is heavy and when the path seems uncertain. The Holy Spirit is your advantage. He's the one who transforms ordinary believers into extraordinary people of purpose. He empowers you to rise above temptation, to love when it's hard, to forgive when it hurts, and to stand firm when everything around you shakes. He teaches you how to live the life Jesus died to give you. Not a life of defeat and struggle, but one of power, love, and sound mind. To walk in step with the Spirit is to walk in alignment with heaven. You were never meant to live by your own strength or intellect. And the Holy Spirit in you is the voice of victory, the revealer of truth, the counselor of wisdom, and the teacher of divine mysteries. And the more you listen, the clearer he becomes. And the more you obey, the stronger his leading grows. He's not just a part of your Christian experience. He is the very breath of your spiritual life. And faith is the key that unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit within you. The Spirit is not moved by emotions, feelings, or outward effort. He responds to faith. Power doesn't flow because you struggle or cry or beg. Power flows when you believe and act on what God has already said in his word. The Spirit of God lives in you, but it's your faith that activates his power. And there's many believers are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they live powerless lives because they don't release what they are carrying. They wait for a sign or a feeling when God is waiting for their boldness and confidence in his word. Faith is not hoping something's going to happen. It's knowing that it already has. And it's standing on the unshakable truth of God's word, regardless of what your senses or circumstances say. And when you speak in faith, heaven moves. When you act in faith, power is released. Faith is not a mystery, folks. It's a decision to trust what God says above everything else. It's declaring, I believe the Spirit of God lives in me. It's declaring, I believe his power is working in me. It's declaring, I believe I have what he says I have, and I can do what he says I can do. The Holy Spirit's power is always present in the life of a believer. But it's not automatically manifest. It must be released. And that release happens through your words, your obedience, and your willingness to act on the word of God without hesitation. It's one thing to believe in the power of God in theory, and it's another to lay hands on the sick, expecting them to recover. Now, it's one thing to say God lives in you, and it's another to speak to a storm. to command peace, to rebuke fear, or to cast out demons in His name. That's the boldness that faith brings. Faith speaks before it sees, because it declares the end from the beginning. It agrees with what God has already said and refuses to back down. And that's how the power is released. Not through trying to feel it, but through acting like it's already real. Because it is. That woman with the issue of blood, she didn't wait for Jesus to call her name, did she? She said within herself, if I could just touch Him, I'm going to be healed. And she acted on that inner conviction, touched Him by faith, and His power flowed out of Him into her. Jesus didn't initiate that moment. Her faith did. That power was present, but it was her faith that made a demand on it. You don't need to feel powerful to be powerful. You don't need to see evidence before you speak. Faith creates the evidence. The Holy Spirit in you is waiting not to come from heaven, but to be activated by your confidence in His Word. And when you act like the Word is true, that power goes to work. Praise be to God. And when you pray, don't pray like a beggar. Pray like a son or a daughter who knows their father and knows their rights. When you speak, don't speak hoping something's going to happen. Speak knowing that heaven is backing your words because your words agree with God's word. Faith refuses to be silent. Faith refuses to retreat. And faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, and receives the supernatural. And every victory in your life will come through faith. Not because God suddenly moves, but because you step into what He already made available. Folks, the power's there. The Spirit's in you. And the only thing left for you to do is to believe, declare, and act. Praise be to God. Well, I want to switch just a little bit and talk about the five words the Holy Spirit loves, but that many Christians don't even say. Did you know there are five specific words that, when spoken with genuine faith, release an extraordinary supernatural power that causes the Holy Spirit to move mightily in your life? Smith Wigglesworth, the man who walked in such powerful anointing that his very shadow brought healing to the sick, discovered these five words that literally opened heaven over his ministry and caused thousands upon thousands of miraculous healings, deliverances, and supernatural breakthroughs. And today we're going to discover exactly what these five words are and why most Christians never speak them, missing out completely on the fullness of the Spirit's power that could transform everything in their lives. Right now, most believers have been taught to pray in certain traditional ways using all of those religious phrases and theological language that sounds spiritual, but it lacks the raw power that actually moves the hand of God. We've become so comfortable with safe, predictable prayers that we've forgotten the language of faith that the Holy Spirit responds to with immediate action. Smith Wigglesworth shocked the religious world of his time because he refused to pray like everybody else. He didn't use flowery language or lengthy theological explanations when he needed God to move. Instead, he discovered through intimate communion with the Holy Spirit that there are specific words, declaration words, authority words, that when spoken in faith, literally shake the spiritual realm and cause instantaneous manifestations of God's power. Now, folks, these aren't magic formulas or manipulation techniques. These are biblical declarations rooted in the very nature of who God is and who we are in Christ. The tragedy is that the modern church has drifted so far from this apostolic Christianity that most believers today wouldn't even recognize the language of genuine Holy Spirit power if they heard it. We substituted begging for declaring, pleading for commanding, hoping for knowing. But the Holy Spirit is calling his people back to the vocabulary of faith that characterized the early church and the great revivalists like Smith Wigglesworth, who literally turned their world upside down for the kingdom of God. And perhaps at this very moment, you're facing situations in your life that seems absolutely impossible. Maybe you've been praying for months or even years about the same problems over and over again, the same struggles, the same needs, but nothing seems to change. No matter how much you pray, how much you go to church, how much you listen to sermons, and how much you read your Bible, you do everything you know to do as a Christian, but you're not seeing the breakthrough that you desperately need. Your finances remain stuck in the same pattern of lack. Your health continues to decline despite all of your prayers. Your family relationships stay broken no matter how hard you try. Your ministry feels powerless and ineffective compared to what you read about in the book of Acts. Deep inside, you know there has to be more to the Christian life than what you're currently experiencing. You've heard testimonies of others who walked in miraculous power. You've read about revivals where God moved in extraordinary ways. But that same power seems distant and unreachable in your own life. Here's what you need to understand right now. The problem isn't that God has changed or that the age of miracles has passed. The problem is that we've lost the language of faith that activates the supernatural. We've been taught to pray like beggars instead of speaking like the royal priesthood we are in Christ. We've learned to doubt our authority, and instead of exercising the dominion that Jesus purchased for us through his blood, the Holy Spirit is waiting, literally waiting for us to speak the words that release his power in your situation. And he ain't holding back because he's unwilling. He's waiting because he operates by spiritual laws. And one of those laws is that he responds to faith declarations, not to unbelief confessions. Why don't you do this right now? Say this out loud with me. I'm ready to speak the language of faith so that I can pray specifically over myself and my breakthrough. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's about to unlock something in your understanding that'll permanently change how you approach prayer, spiritual warfare, and walking in supernatural power. You know, the first word that the Holy Spirit loves to hear from believers, but that a whole lot of Christians never speak, and it's that word, believe, B-E-L-I-E-V-E. Well, some of you might be thinking, well, that's obvious. Well, of course, Christians believe, but Smith Wigglesworth taught something profound about this word that most people completely miss. There's a massive difference between mental agreement and the kind of believing that moves mountains. When Jesus said in Mark 11:23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says comes to pass, he shall have it. He wasn't talking about wishful thinking or positive mental attitude. He was revealing a spiritual law about faith declaration. The word believe in this context means to have such absolute confidence in God's word and God's character that you speak to your circumstances with complete authority, knowing without any shadow of doubt that what you declare will manifest. Smith Wigglesworth would stand before people with incurable diseases and tumors, and he'd speak one word, believe. But when he spoke it, it carried such an anointing and authority that faith would literally be imparted into that person's spirit. He understood that believing isn't just an internal mental state. It's a spiritual force that when released through spoken words creates reality in the natural realm. And most Christians say things like, well, I'm trying to believe, or I hope God will do this, or maybe if it's God's will. Folks, that's not faith declaration. Those are doubt confessions disguised as humility. The Holy Spirit cannot work with maybe. He cannot move with I hope so. But he does respond to I believe, therefore I speak. And when you understand this, you begin to eliminate every word of doubt from your vocabulary and replace it with declarations of belief. You're going to see a dramatic shift in your spiritual authority. And you're going to start speaking to sicknesses, and they're going to leave. And you're going to start declaring financial breakthrough, and provisions are going to appear. And you're going to start commanding peace over your mind, and anxiety is going to dissolve. Folks, this isn't presumption. This is precisely how Jesus taught us to operate in the kingdom of God. Now, let's go to the second word that releases tremendous Holy Spirit activity, and that's that word receive. In Mark 11, 24, Jesus made an astounding statement. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. Notice the order here that most Christians get completely backwards. Jesus didn't say, believe that you will receive them someday in the future. He said, believe that you receive them in the moment you pray. Then you will have the physical manifestation. This is the mystery of faith that Smith Wigglesworth operated in so powerfully. He prayed for somebody one time, and then he would thank God it was done, and he'd move on in complete confidence that it was going to be carried out. He didn't beg God repeatedly for the same thing every day after day. He received it in the spirit realm the moment he prayed, and then he expected the manifestation to appear in the natural realm. And this is exactly what happened when he prayed for his own wife that was laying on the bed dying. The doctors had given up all hope. Her body was failing rapidly. Smith went into the room. He laid his hands on her with absolute authority. He declared that she would live and not die. And then he said one powerful word, receive. And at that moment in the spiritual realm, her healing was complete. And within hours, the physical manifestation appeared, and she was completely restored. The Holy Spirit is always ready to release healing, deliverance, provision, whatever you need. But he's waiting for you to receive it by faith before you see it in the natural. And that goes against everything that our natural minds want to do. Folks, we want to see it first, and then we'll believe it. But kingdom principles work in reverse. You believe it, you receive it spiritually, then you see it naturally. When you start praying with this understanding, declaring, I receive my healing right now in Jesus' name. I receive my financial breakthrough right now. I receive peace in my home right now. Something shifts in the atmosphere. And you're no longer begging God for something he's already provided through the finished work of Christ. And you're simply receiving what's already yours by covenant, right? And the third word that carries tremendous spiritual power is the word command. This is perhaps the most controversial word, because religious traditions have taught us that it's presumptuous and even blasphemous to command anything in the spiritual realm. But Smith Wigglesworth understood something that shocked the religious establishment of his day. When you're operating in genuine God-given authority as a believer, you don't beg demons to leave, you command them. You don't ask sickness to please go away, you command it to leave in Jesus' name. And you don't hope that circumstances will change. You speak to the circumstances with the same authority that Jesus spoke to the storm, saying, peace, be still. And look carefully at how Jesus operated during his earthly ministry. When he encountered sickness, he didn't pray long intercessory prayers asking the Father to heal him. He commanded the sickness to go. And when he faced demonic manifestation, he commanded the spirits to come out. When he needed provision, he commanded the fish to bring the corn. And when he was hungry, he commanded the fig tree, and it responded to his words. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said in John 14 and verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the work that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." That authority is for every believer who understands their position in Christ. Smith Wigglesworth would walk into a room where someone was tormented by demonic oppression, and he'd simply say one word with absolute authority, "Go!" And the demons would flee instantly because they recognized someone who understood their spiritual authority. He would point at tumors and command them to dissolve, and people would watch as growths literally disappeared before their eyes. This wasn't Wigglesworth's personal power. This was a man who had discovered that when you're truly submitted to God's authority over your life, he delegates his authority through you to change circumstances around you. The Holy Spirit loves when believers stop begging and start commanding, because commanding demonstrates that you actually believe what the Word says about your position in Christ. You're seated with Him in heavenly places far above all principality and power. And from that position, you don't negotiate with the enemy at all. You command him to obey the Word of God. And the fourth powerful word is declare. You know, there's something absolutely supernatural that happens when you stop merely talking about problems and you start declaring God's word over your situation. Proverbs 18:21 tells us plainly that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love shall eat its fruit. Smith Wigglesworth was known for making powerful declarations over people, places, and situations that seemed absolutely impossible. He would declare healing over terminal patients. He would declare life over people who had already died. He would declare provision over financial impossibilities, and the supernatural realm would respond to his declarations because they weren't based on his feelings or circumstances, but on the unchanging Word of God. And here's what most Christians don't understand about declarations. When you declare something in faith based on God's Word, you're not trying to convince God to do something. You're actually releasing your faith to create spiritual reality that then manifests in the natural realm. God created the entire universe by speaking words. He said, "Let there be light," and light appeared. He didn't beg light to come into existence. He didn't hope that light would show up. He declared it, and it was so. Then Genesis tells us that we are made in His image and likeness. Part of that image includes the creative power of words spoken in faith. And when you declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, you're not lying about your current symptoms. You're calling those things that are not as though they were, which is exactly what Romans 4:17 says Abraham's faith did. You're speaking the end results from God's perspective before it manifests in your physical realm. Smith Wigglesworth taught that we should never talk about our problems with the same energy and conviction that we talk about God's promises. And if you're going to declare something, declare what God says, not what the devil says, not what your feelings are, not what the doctor's report says. Make your mouth agree with heaven's reality, and then watch how quickly your earthly reality begins to shift. And here's something that you need to start declaring every day, every single day. I am more than a conqueror. I am the healed of the Lord. I am blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I am the head and not the tail. Prosperity flows to me because I'm a covenant child of God. These aren't empty positive affirmations. These are biblical declarations that release the Holy Spirit's power to work in your circumstances. And before I continue with the fifth word, I need you to pause right now and do something that will seal what you're learning. I want you to speak, declaring this. I speak the language of faith that moves heaven. Because when you speak those words, you're making a spiritual declaration that shifts something in the atmosphere over your life. Do it right now before you continue. I speak the language of faith that moves heaven. Now let's move on to the fifth and perhaps the most powerful word that the Holy Spirit loves to hear is that word now, N-O-W. This single word destroys the greatest weapon that the enemy uses against believers, which is delay and procrastination. How many Christians are waiting for someday breakthrough, someday healing, someday deliverance, someday provision? But kingdom reality operates in the eternal now. When Smith Wigglesworth prayed for people, he expected immediate results. He didn't pray and then tell people to wait and see what God might do eventually. He prayed with authority and commanded healing to manifest now, deliverance to happen now, breakthrough to come now. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John encountered the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, Peter didn't say, I'll pray that God heals you someday. He said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. That's now faith. That's immediate expectation. That's the kind of faith that the Holy Spirit responds to with instant miracles. And here's why the word now, N-O-W, is so powerful spiritually. When you declare something is happening right now, you're pulling future promises into present reality. You're collapsing time in the spirit realm. You're refusing to let the enemy delay what God has already provided. Hebrews 4 tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not help next year, not help when you finally become worthy enough, but help now in your time of need. Smith Wigglesworth lived in this now reality constantly. When he spoke the mountains, he expected them to move immediately. When he spoke the storms, he expected immediate peace. When he spoke to dead bodies, he expected immediate resurrection. And time after time, the impossible became possible because he understood that God exists outside of time. And when you connect with this, his realm through faith, now is always available. So stop saying, someday I'll be free. I want you to declare, I am free now, and stop saying, eventually, my situation is going to change. Declare my situation is changing right now. And stop saying, I hope things get better. Declare things are better right now because I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Let me show you exactly how to put these five words together in a way that's going to revolutionize your prayer life and release unprecedented Holy Spirit power in every area that you need breakthrough. First thing every single morning when you wake up, before you do anything else, before you check your phone, before you start thinking about your problems, you need to speak these five words over your life in declaration form. Stand up, lift your hands, and declare out loud, I believe God's word over my life. I receive everything Jesus purchased for me. I command every force of darkness to leave my presence. I declare the goodness of God over my family, my health, my finances, and my future. I walk in breakthrough now, not someday, but right now in Jesus' mighty name. When you start your day with this kind of declaration, you're setting the spiritual atmosphere for everything that follows. You're serving notice to the kingdom of darkness that you understand your authority, and you're activating the Holy Spirit's presence and power. You're aligning yourself with heaven's reality instead of earth's circumstances. And second, whenever you face a crisis, a problem, or an attack, your immediate response should be to speak these five words in a specific situation. And don't panic and don't complain. And don't call 10 people to tell them how bad things are. Instead, speak directly to that mountain. If it's a health crisis, say this: I believe my body is healed. I receive divine health right now. I command this sickness to leave my body immediately, and I declare that by the stripes of Jesus, I am completely whole. And this healing is manifesting now. And folks, if it's a financial emergency, say this: I believe God is my provider. I receive supernatural provisions right now, and I command the windows of heaven to open over my finances. I declare that all my needs are met according to His riches in glory, and the provision I need is coming to me now. Y'all see the pattern here? You're not begging and you're not doubting. You're exercising the authority that belongs to you as a believer. Third, you need to become absolutely ruthless about eliminating words of doubt from your vocabulary. Smith Wigglesworth was famous for correcting people when they spoke unbelief. If somebody said, "I'm trying to have faith," he'd stop them. He'd stop them immediately and say, "Don't try, just believe." And if someone said, "I hope God will heal me," he would correct them saying, "Don't hope, receive your healing right now." The Holy Spirit cannot work with double-minded speech. You cannot say, "I believe God can heal me, but I'm not sure if He will heal me." That's mixture. And mixture produces nothing. You have to come to a place of absolute, settled conviction that God's word is true regardless of what you see, feel, or experience in the natural. Then your words will align with that conviction, and supernatural power will flow. Fourth, practice these declarations over other people. And when someone shares a problem with you, instead of sympathizing with their difficulty, speak faith into their situation. When someone tells you they're sick, don't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, that's terrible." Say this: "I believe God's healing you right now. Receive your healing in Jesus' name now." When someone shares a financial struggle, declare provisions over their life. That's what Smith Wigglesworth did everywhere he went. He created an atmosphere of faith through his words that lifted people out of their circumstances and connected them with heaven's reality. And you got that same ability. Your words carry creative power when they're filled with genuine faith. Now, fifth, write these five words somewhere. You'll see them multiple times every day. Put them on your bathroom mirror, set them as your phone wallpaper, make them your screensaver, and every time you see them, speak them out loud over whatever situation you're facing in that moment. Believe, receive, command, declare now. Folks, these aren't just nice religious words. These are authority words that shift spiritual atmospheres and release Holy Spirit activity. And the more you use them, the more natural they'll become, and the more you'll see supernatural results manifesting in your life. Now, let me tell you something that's going to challenge everything you've been taught in traditional religious settings. The reason most Christians live powerless lives isn't because God is holding back His power. It's because we've been taught a powerless vocabulary. We've learned to speak like victims instead of victors. We've been trained to doubt instead of believe. We accepted a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. But right now, in this moment, something is breaking off your life. The spirit of powerlessness is being shattered, and the mindset of limitation is being destroyed, and you're beginning to understand that you don't have to live another day under circumstances that Jesus already gave you authority over. You don't have to tolerate sickness when healing is your covenant right. And you don't have to accept poverty when abundance is your inheritance. And you don't have to endure bondage when freedom has already been purchased. And the only thing standing between you and your breakthrough is learning to speak the language that heaven responds to. Smith Wigglesworth lived in such a realm of faith that his very presence would bring conviction to unbelievers and healing to the sick. People would literally fall under the power of God when he walked past them because the anointing on his life was so strong. But here's what you need to understand. That anointing wasn't because Wigglesworth was special or chosen above others. That anointing was a result of a man who completely sold out to speaking only what God's word said. Believing without doubt, receiving immediately, commanding with authority, declaring boldly, and expecting now results. He refused to entertain any other vocabulary. And he wouldn't listen to doubt. He wouldn't speak fear. He wouldn't agree with circumstances that contradicted Scripture. And the Holy Spirit honored that kind of radical faith with radical manifestations of power. Folks, you're at a crossroads right now in your Christian walk. And you can continue praying weak prayers that produce weak results, or you can step into the fullness of the authority that's already yours and start speaking the language of faith that moves heaven and earth. And you can keep hoping that someday things might get better, or you can grab hold of these five words and start declaring your right now breakthrough. Folks, the Holy Spirit's ready. He's been ready. He's waiting for you to speak the words that release his power. And every time you say, I believe, faith is released. And every time you say, I receive, spiritual transactions occur. And every time you command with authority, demons tremble and circumstances shift. And every time you declare God's word, you're creating reality in the spiritual realm. And every time you say, now, you're pulling future promises into present manifestation. Now, I want you to do something right now that's going to activate everything you've learned. And I want you to stand up wherever you are. If you're driving, obviously stay seated, but everyone else stands up right now. Lift your hands towards heaven, open your mouth, and declare out loud with me. I believe the word of God is true in my life. I receive everything Jesus died to give me. I command every opposing force to bow to the name of Jesus. I declare that I am healed, delivered, prosperous, protected, and empowered. And I walk in my breakthrough now, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now in Jesus' mighty name. And if you declared that with genuine faith, something shifted in the spiritual realm over your life in this moment. The Holy Spirit heard your declaration and he's moving on your behalf. So believe, receive, command, declare, and now. The body of Christ is being awakened to walk in the same apostolic power that turned the world upside down in the book of Acts. And remember, the Holy Spirit isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who's going to believe his word and receive his promises and command with his authority and declare his truth and expect now results. That's the vocabulary of revival. That's the language of breakthrough. And that's how Smith Wigglesworth lived, and that's how you're going to live from this day forward. Your words will never be the same. Your prayers will never be the same. Your results will never be the same. You're entering a new dimension of faith where the impossible becomes possible because you've learned to speak the five words that the Holy Spirit loves to hear from his children. Praise be to God forevermore. Well, folks, I hope this helped you. And God bless you. I'm out of time. We'll see you next time, Lord willing.